Today on Real Life Radio.
This is a system that will have all the money in the world. It will have all the power in the world. It will be greater than America. It will be greater than a China. It will be greater than a Japan. It will be absolute. It will be the unified world system. Utopia on earth, man's dream come true. But God's not in it, and it will be a disaster.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2, continues his series called The Book of Revelation. Now, here in chapter 18 of Revelation, we'll continue to see how Babylon is the center of a political, commercial, and economic system that is really quite prosperous, but focused on a life without God. You see, Babylon is not only a geographical area centered in basically Iraq, but also a system, a demonic system based out of Rome as the center place of politics and power of the coming world union. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that throughout the ages, God has always wanted us to flee from any wrongdoing. His desire is that the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of Babylon, takes a hold of us and keeps us from falling into sin. Now in his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
More and more today, men and women, 27% of American women are hooked on internet pornography. 27% women who use their computers have confessed in an anonymous poll that they're now hooked on pornography. Women. Galatians 5:1, apply that. Put that on your screen. Make that your screensaver. Get accountable to friends. Give them your system or somehow your computer can relate to each other. I understand there's programs out there that if you go onto a bad site, it notifies your friend. That's pretty cool. Be careful. You're not just playing in the dark, my friend. You're ruining your life. So how can that, I'm all alone. How can that ruin my life? It goes into your head. And it affects how you deal with people. Certainly how it affects how you see your husband or how you see your wife or your future husband or your future wife. God says, come out from among her. Why? She's filled with spiritual darkness and spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery and idolatry. God says, come out. And we want to make sure that that happens in our lives. Verse 5, her sins have reached to heaven. Can you circle this verse? Her sins have reached to heaven, for God has remembered her iniquities. This is actually an interesting play on words here. The word reached here, it means that her sins have been laid one upon another. Listen, like a brick and mortar are laid together. It is a statement directly made by the Holy Spirit here in the Bible. And this is beautiful. The Babylonian system to get you to look back at what you've been studying. You've been very good students. You want to know why? We started out in chapter 17 learning about Babylon, didn't we? It started with a man called Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10 and 11. Remember that? Why was that important then? Because it's important now. God says, come out from among her because her sins have reached me, just like you put mortar and brick on top of another until it has reached where? Heaven. You see the connection now? From Genesis to Revelation? Nimrod tried to build a tower to God to shoot God down out of heaven, and it was a sinful thing, and God smote them with languages, and they dispersed throughout all corners of the world with foreign languages. This is a wonderful conclusion to what began in Genesis. God says, that's it. Finally, imagine after all these millennia, now my patience has reached a point where their sin, listen, their sin has reached its full. Please hear me on this. Every human being, including you and me, God has determined that there is a level of sin that God will tolerate in your life. Please hear me. If you are not a Christian this morning, and you're thinking you're getting away with stuff that's going on in your life, please understand this from the Bible. God is silent because God is watching a meter. It's like it's a gas meter. Or in my house with three women, an electric meter thing. You ever seen the lights go dim when a blow dryer comes on? That's scary. In fact, in our house, when two blow dryers are going on at the same time, all the power goes out in our home. I got to go outside and flick the switch, and then... So if you ever come by my house, and I'm standing out there with my robe, that's what I'm doing. I'm kidding. I am not kidding. I'm afraid some of you have seen me do this. I know Mark and Mary live right down the street. They probably have seen me doing this. It reaches a point and then whip. God says, I'm patient. I'm slow to anger. I'm merciful. But there comes a time when your sin reaches a point where it has so destroyed your life that you have reached the point of no return. Not because you've exhausted the patience of God, but because you've reached a point when you now have sealed your fate. Are you with me? You've crossed a point where you don't even want to go back. You have so committed yourself to this sinful life that you can't come back. You're stuck, like Pharaoh was stuck. And God says, that's it. And he cuts them off. No more light. That's exactly what's being said here. The sin of humanity has reached a point since the Tower of Babel, and it's reached a point now. That's it. Over. Mercy, no more. And God executes judgment. And look, no one wants to teach and preach a Sunday morning message on judgment. But if I can mention it and it saves your life from this penalty that is due to each and every one of us, if it saves you from this penalty by you saying, Jesus, will you take the penalty for me in my life? When you are on the cross, Jesus, will you think of me and apply your sacrifice for me? And you can say right now this morning, Jesus, forgive me. And I accept your sacrifice on the cross. And you take my judgment, Lord, that was intended for me. You took it upon yourself. And you know what? God in that holy and awesome moment declares that you are born again. You can declare you're born again all you want. It doesn't matter until God says so. And you'll know it. God will change your life. You don't have to change your life to become a Christian. Oh, I'm going to get a letter on that one. I'm going to tell you right now, write me. I don't care. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't you know, Brother Jack, that we've got to become holy by our conduct and by our works? Nope, I guess I don't know that because I haven't found that in the Bible yet. When God spoke through Peter and said, be ye holy for I am holy, holy saith the Lord. How do you become holy if you read the Bible from cover to cover? You become holy by trusting in the work of Christ. If you truly trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside your life. And you know what? He rolls up his sleeves and he says, well, now that I'm here, pulls out a broom, a vacuum, Windex. He starts cleaning your house, man. And he starts cleaning your head, your heart. He starts going into one room to the other. He starts doing this and that. And he starts sweeping things out. All right, this has got to go. And you know, you think, oh, yes, yes, yes. Hey, Christians, you know what? The toughest part is growing old. As we grow older as a Christian, there's some rooms that we're shocked to find out that we've padlocked. And we won't let them in. And that's when the Lord says, it's so cool. Anybody with me on this one? I've been a Christian for 27 or 28 years now, I forget. And I tell you, there's some rooms he's starting to clean right now. And brother, he doesn't, you know those old feather duster things? He's already used those things. Comes to this room, you see that, he throws that over his shoulder. Man, he pulls out a power washer. And he comes in and blows the door open. And he's scraping the walls of impure thoughts and he's blowing off this old junky paint from yesteryear that's all these images or whatever it is. And he's just, and he's got a suit on with goggles. Hey, Jack, I got this one. That's called discipleship. And that's called growing older in the Lord. He starts cleaning house, man. You don't have to sit there, well, you know, and this and that, and Lord, am I saved now? Am I saved? I laid all this on the altar. Listen, you come before him, and he takes the offering. You just present yourself. Here I am. And he goes, thank you very much. Now I'm going to go to work. He's wonderful. He's so good at that. Well, listen to this. Their sins were remembered. The meter reached a point all based upon Genesis. Now look, look what her sin was. It's found in several places here. If you look at verse 3, the nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Why? Because she caused the world to indulge in her fornication, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Notice this luxury is not a sin. It's the love that's devoted to that thing or system that brings it about. Look at verse 24 at the end. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, of the saints, and all who were slain upon the earth. The Babylonian system, rather than giving God the glory from heaven, it's a worship system of the earth. Now look with me at verse 6. He's just to the unbeliever in that they receive their reward. Render to her as such she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup in which she has mixed double for her. Do you remember, you guys, way back many weeks ago, the woman on the beast, that image, that old 18th century painting, and she was carrying that incredible cup. Remember that image in your head now? God says, take the cup and mix it doubly strong. Stir it up and pour it out. That's the wrath I'm going to give upon her. Wow. Verse 7 tells us that this Babylonian system, it will reap what it sows. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure her torment and sorrow. Look at our third point, verses 7 to 8. And we'll actually, from this point onward, we'll look at her destruction. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen. Again, those of you who have been with us, immediately Jeremiah 44 comes to mind. For she declared in Jeremiah 44 that she was the queen of heaven. And she will see no sorrow, she will see and never become no widow whatsoever. Therefore, verse 8, her plagues will come upon her in what? And how many days? One day. In one day her plagues will come upon her. She will be destroyed. This system will be destroyed because it will be a system without God. For she says in her heart, I'm the boss. I'm the queen. I don't need to belabor this. It's a dangerous thing to be self-sufficient. You need to hear that. There are people who have absolutely nothing and are self-sufficient in their mind. And then there are people who have everything in the world and they are self-sufficient in their mind. And the opposite is true. There's people who, in the reverse of that, what am I saying? When you begin to see yourself like Nebuchadnezzar did of old, the richest king on the planet of Babylon, and remember what he did? He walks out, remember he had the incredible, one of the seven wonders of the world was the of Nebuchadnezzar's hanging gardens in Babylon. Boy, you look at a picture today of Iraq, and it sure must have been judged by God, huh? I mean, it's pretty bad looking. It used to be an incredibly beautiful place before God judged it. And Nebuchadnezzar opens up the door and he walks out there. Is this not the great Babylon that I have built? And the Bible says there in the book of Daniel, God smote him with judgment. He became an idiot. And he ran around in the fields with the animals. This is the king of the world. Ran around in the fields with the animals until his nails on his fingers grew into claws and his hair grew into like that of a lion. And he was an idiot for seven seasons until God had mercy on him. And then you see the king reinstated to power and Nebuchadnezzar says, is this not the great kingdom that God has built? He got it. Is this not the great life that God has given us? Yesterday, my youngest daughter was sitting at the table right out of the blue, right out of nowhere. Dad, are you glad we live here? Live where? In America? That's what I said. In America? Yes. No, I mean here. How did you know when you and Mom moved out here, Chino Hills? That was a long time ago. Are you glad? I said, yeah, I really like living here. Be nice if it was a little closer to the ocean, you know, but it's nice. I like it. Yeah, I like it. She likes it too. I told her, you know what? The Lord was in it. The Lord was in it. That's a precious thing. When the Lord's in it, it's precious. Look, if you're visiting from Barstow, if the Lord's in it, you love Barstow. If you're visiting from, you know, I don't know. I was talking to a family this week, and God is moving them to Little Rock. Now, that's a beautiful area, but you know what? I don't care how beautiful it is. I don't even want to go to Little Rock. I have nothing against it. I just don't want to go there. But you know what? God's not calling me to Little Rock. God's calling them to Little Rock. It's amazing when God's in it. But when God's not in it, that's a judgment. Everything's difficult. Everything's so impossible, and it's a spiritual wasteland. A lady told me last week on the telephone, in our little, oh my goodness, I don't even think I got the name of the town. It's so small. In South Dakota, they listen on the internet and via CD, they have their services with you. That's their church service. And she said, can you send a pastor? When we love hearing you, Pastor Jack, and we go through the CD or on the internet, and we have church together around the computer, but we'd like to have somebody to shepherd our souls and to be here with us. That broke my heart. When God's in it, you can't wait to get there, you know? Because God's in it. This is a system. It will have all the money in the world. It will have all the power in the world. It will be greater than America. It will be greater than a China. It will be greater than a Japan. It will be greater. It will be absolute. It will be the unified world system. Utopia on earth, man's dream come true. But God's not in it. And it will be a disaster. And God says so. Destroyed a system without God. Look at verse 8. Destroyed because she has led the world astray. Therefore, her plagues will come upon her in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. That's hard for us to believe. Strong is the Lord who judges her. I think maybe perhaps as Americans, we have been woken up to the amazing thought that how fast and how quick something can happen. The Bible says that this system will go down in 1 hour. Prior to September 11th, we would look at this and say, how could such a thing happen? Well, amazingly enough, some lunatics with a demonically brilliant plan uses our equipment to fly planes into buildings. And it stopped the markets of the world, New York City. It stopped the air travel in the world. And it wasn't 1 hour. It was what, an hour and 48 minutes? But if Osama bin Laden can do this in an hour and 48 minutes to lower Manhattan, what can God do in a moment when he judges the earth and its system? You think that this is something? This is nothing. Americans know more about this now than we ever have. How judgment can come. I'm not saying that judgment came via September 11th. I'm simply showing you these images because in 1 hour, a radical thing happened to us. What happens when God does it because of sin? This was done because we're hated for supporting Israel. Look, not popular what I'm going to say. You want to know the truth? The truth is this. America must be destroyed. America must be crushed. That's why jihad began in 1990. Don't be ignorant on this. Go read your enemy's website. Jihad began in 1990. This must happen. It must continue to happen to the world and those who support us via whatever means possible. That's why other nations are under attack, to fracture America away from the rest of the world. Listen, people, fracture and segregate America away from the rest of the world so that America is brought low financially, so that it cannot support Israel. Why? Because the Quran says that Allah cannot capture the earth as long as Israel exists. Did you know that? Israel must be destroyed, and that's not going to happen because America first has to be destroyed in the minds of men. First of all, there is no promise given to America that will succeed or fail. But there is a promise given to Israel. It shall never again be uprooted from its land, says God in the Bible. Don't be so blind. There is a serious agenda at work. And it's all about Israel in these last days. Destroy Israel's enemies. Cause her to stand alone. Isn't this what your Old Testament teaches you? That she will stand alone in the last days? Read Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, and 38. All the nations of the world will condemn a Russian-led attack by its Islamic neighbors in Ezekiel chapter 38. And the world will simply condemn it, probably by UN resolution. And that coalition will come out of the north, the Bible says, and swoop down upon Jerusalem in the last days. And it will fail because God says, I will never again let my people be destroyed. Israel, amazing, tremendous. In 1 hour, Revelation 18, 17 says, for in 1 hour such great riches have come to nothing. Wow. I think of the company, I heard the precious woman of the accountant for this firm. In New York City, the whole company was wiped out, almost every one of them. Anyway, I heard her speak in New York City on September 11th, and her husband called her to say, we can't get out of the building. They told us that they can't rescue us. And his name was Al. And she says, what are you going to do, honey? By the way, he had been in retirement, and the corporation asked him to come back. He came back, and he was working, and he says, I'm going to give him Jesus, so pray for me. And he set his phone down, and he starts preaching Jesus Christ to a little over 100 employees. They all gathered around because they had, listen, they were given the announcement by the New York City Fire Department, we can't make you, we can't reach you. You're going to die. Everybody laid down their computers, they laid down their wallets, they laid down their ties, they laid down their power, and they sat down and Al gave them Jesus Christ. Why? A death sentence had been given. What do you do in that moment? You give them Christ. You give them Jesus. They can make a decision and change their eternal destiny. And Al and all of his workers came down in that North Tower. You got to wonder how many of them went to heaven, huh? I told you about a man who was in the Century 21 building that I had a chance to meet, who stood, he was running, he was on the opposite side. That building still stands today. Opposite side of the World Trade Center. When the planes hit, he began to run. Everybody evacuated the office, and God spoke to him and said, turn around and go to the window. Turn around and go back to the window. He went back to the window, and he stood there, and that 21st century building stands in the shadow of the World Trade Centers. And as he was standing there, he saw human bodies go by as jumpers were leaping. And God told him, pray as they go. Why did God have him pray? I don't know, but God knows why. Could it be that those 56 or 25 or 9 or 1 person going down said, Jesus, save me? Amazing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Bible prophecy, especially from the book of Revelation, it's a fascinating subject, especially when it relates to current events. Now, you know, Pastor Jack can really dig in when it comes to prophecy and end times. You can watch Pastor Jack as he and his special guests discuss what the Bible says about the future, with topics like conflict in the Middle East, how our nation has turned its back on morality, and, of course, the global pandemic. You're sure to discover how it all lines up with the Bible and what God's plans are for His church in the end times. You can watch episodes of Happening Now when it's live on Facebook, also from Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, that's jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.